down! Put, 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 put!
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com.
Time to chat with our friend and teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good, good. All right, I was talking to Gabe about this morning. What was your biggest takeaway from your State of the Packers show that you and Gabe and I believe Alex Stroff took part in this weekend?
Gabe is the best. Legendary. The GOAT.
Gosh, I should have been more specific.
It is the biggest takeaway. Like, we can talk about the Packers, certainly, which I think is what you were driving at. But, yes, given the way you phrased the question, the takeaway was nobody's better than Gabe.
I can't believe it took you this long to realize that, though, Jason. You know, it shouldn't have been
this past weekend that solidified for you. I think that's the thing, though. Like, here's the thing. Like, there's certain players that you just take their greatness for granted. And then when you see them up close, you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. This guy's unbelievable. And that's kind of what happened on Saturday at Summerfest Grounds.
So what was the format? You just talk about everybody?
Or position by position.
Yeah, we went position by position.
Okay.
And Alex Stroff is a very good point guard. That's why we have him on Green Bay game day. And so it was really fun. And again, it's a tradition that 1 year Gabe brought it back without me, which still irritates me. But it really was kind of what launched Green and Gold today, and thus then Wilde and Tausch after that. So it's near and dear to my heart. As far as football takeaways, I think both Gabe and Stroff, and of course myself, like, I think we all agree there's a good football team. But there's just a fragility to how good they really are and some uncertainty. And it just feels like there's kind of a wide variance on how we feel the season could turn out for them.
Well, let's talk about a position. Jadeveon Clowney, thoughts?
I didn't realize the dude had 8.5 sacks last year.
Yeah, 13 games.
Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's pretty good production, especially considering, like, after he left Houston, he kind of dropped off the map, mm-hmm. right? Like, he was this mercenary, but he wasn't all that good, or productive, at least. I do still think that he is one of those players who his name conjures up an image that may not match the production. Like, we all see him back at South Carolina, yeah. hitting that Michigan running back and his head popping off.
And then just reaching out and grabbing the football off the turf in mm-hmm. like one motion.
Yeah. So, like, you know, and obviously he was the number one overall pick and like all those things. But it's like Tausch always says, like, seventh round picks, or in Chewy's case, sixth round picks, constantly have to prove that they belong in the NFL. And first-round picks constantly have to prove that they don't until they're finally out of the league. And so, you know, my issue with this idea, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't sign him, because, you know, the more the merrier. And anybody else, any other 30-somethings that Goody wants to bring in, great, God bless him. But it just is so counterintuitive to what he has done, and I don't know if the need is as blatant as it was to acquire Zaire Franklin after you realized you weren't going to re-sign Quay Walker, or to sign Javon Hargrave when you know that your defensive tackle group, especially after trading Colby Wooden to get Zaire Franklin is not deep enough. Like, I feel like they got a bunch of young guys that Goody would typically say, hey, we got to let these guys play. The only way they get better is if they play, and we live with their growing pains during the first half of the season, and they come out on the other side as pretty good players. Like, there's a lot of people excited about Baron Sorrell. I know Strofe is excited about the dentist, Deny Dennis Sutton. But if you get Jadeveon Clowney, you know, that says two things. One, you're not as confident in the young guys that we all thought you were. And two, maybe Terrence Parsons' timeline has some credence to it.
Talking with Jason Wilde on the Yingling guest hotline. Jason, we've seen a little bit of a shift in philosophy from the front office and Brian Gutekunst. You mentioned one of the guys that he signed, but he signed a couple more veterans, and at least right now it looks like they're not going to be the youngest team in the league once again heading into 2026. Is it possible we see Matt LaFleur change his philosophy a little bit and we see some more of these guys in preseason games to help them hit the ground running? And I guess I'm specifically wondering about the offensive line and how much of a jumbled mess that could possibly be. But you want to have cohesion with your preferred five.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to. For instance, are they going to play Aaron Banks just because they want to get cohesion? Like, he was battling injuries all of last year, right? And is Matt LaFleur willing to risk that? You know, because he missed time. And like, he never found his footing last year, right? Like, he kind of played better toward the end of the season, but first it was his back, and then he had a knee, and, you know, I don't see them being willing to risk that kind of stuff. But again, like, this is so, and I can't even imagine how much Chewy rolls his eyes at this, because I was just talking to somebody yesterday, because they had listened to the show on Saturday on the podcast, and they really enjoyed it. They love that we go position by position, and they were expressing their concerns about the offensive line and kind of said what you did. Like, you know, do they need the work so you can just figure out who your best five even are? And I said, look, this ain't, you know, 1997 when the defending Super Bowl champs, Chewy and the rest of those guys, are out there playing into the third quarter at like Camp Randall Stadium in a preseason game on green
concrete.
Camp
Randall? That's terrible turf.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah. So I don't, that's my thing. Like, but, I agree that they need it, but I don't see them doing it.
So I get the Banks thing, and who knows if Zach Tom's even going to be ready, you know, for preseason action, right? You're hoping he's ready, and they think he's going to be ready for regular season action. But would you think that Jordan Morgan, who is getting really the first opportunity at left tackle, Sean Ryan, who's only played really 9 games at center, and then whatever you're doing at guard, whether it's Belton, whether it's Jagger, those guys are going to get the work, right? Are we just talking about, I guess, the two more veteran guys in Tom and Banks that aren't going to be playing in preseason games? Or are they just going to go, hey, we're hoping to get in the most work we can during practice and the one joint practice we have?
Yeah, I will tell you this. I had one of my favorite conversations of the offseason with Zach Tom when he gave me an update on his recovery. And I think my favorite part was he was talking about how he needs to really take advantage of the joint practices because that's where the best work is. I said, well, you're only going to have one. Like, you guys are only doing it with Arizona. And he didn't know that. So then he was like, well, maybe. And I'm like, don't, you're not going to say it. And he started to laugh. And he's like, no, I said, no, are you going to say it? He said, yeah, maybe I need to work in a preseason game. I'm like, get out of here. Like, you're not that rookie fourth round pick anymore, man. Like, you're coming off a partially torn patellar tendon and you're going to play in the preseason. And I will say this, like, one of the things I like about him is that he's a lot like Tausch and Bulaga in that he really feels the need to practice. And I know that sounds, you know, simple, but like, you know, I would argue that Bakhtiari and certainly Chad Clifton and your old buddy Ken Rutgers, like, Those left tackles, man, they're just like, yeah, I can roll out of bed and block.
Yeah,
because really
they're so
practice.
Lazy. They're a little arrogant, too. You know?
Not Cliffy.
I mean,
maybe
if,
lazy. I don't know if he's
Jason,
arrogant.
If Rutt showed the fire he had when playing Frank in backgammon, I would have been more excited.
Did he pray for him after every time he beat Frank?
Probably.
No?
He still contacts me. Delete.
to ask you to come to church with him?
I don't know. I mean, Rutt's fine. He's just California weird. You know?
California weird. I'm going to start to use that. Is that what Aaron Rodgers is then?
I think there's a case that can be made.
Sure, he doesn't know if he's making it, but yeah. Somebody could make it.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot of work. Yeah. I'm just looking up to see if it's trademarked.
What, California weird?
California weird.
Yeah.
It's our next t-shirts.
That's what I was thinking. Throw something up on Etsy. Jason, I know you guys talked about the cornerback position. Gabe said that you've probably had your fill of that conversation.
I feel really bad. Ben Brust started my appearance on Kyle and Brust yesterday, starting down that road, and I basically just said, I am not talking about Keyshawn Nixon.
Yep, that's exactly what happened.
This is basically what Gabe told us this morning. So I thought I'd pivot to special teams and Trey Smack. What's the confidence level in this young man to be able to hold it down this season?
Yeah, I don't have any confidence right now, and that's has nothing to do with him. It's that rookie kickers, generally speaking, are inconsistent, and we have not seen what we've basically seen. Is a measure of inconsistency, right? We saw one day where he wasn't very good. We saw another day where he was really good, right? 5 for 9 one day, 7 for 8 the next. And then, you know, he misses the 30-some yarder at the end of the 2-minute drill the last time we saw him. Now, they did kick again, and he made a 50-yarder, but it wasn't the same, you know. It's not the same after they say, oh, well, take another one. Look, he could be very good. And, you know, we talked to Ryan Longwell a couple weeks ago. And first of all, he told an unbelievable story that of all the stories I've heard from those guys from the 90s, I had never heard the story about him going to lunch with Brett Conway after the Packers signed him and Brett Conway picking him up and having his, and I assume he cashed it and I don't know how he would have possession of it because back then you didn't just take pictures of your check, but he had his signing bonus check taped to the dashboard of his car. That's and Ryan's weird. Like, I'm totally going to beat this guy out. and so I don't get that from Trey at all. But I would say this, like, you know, Ryan talked about what he needs to kind of do to be able to be effective at Lambeau Field. So if he does that, I think he's going to be fine with some growing pains mixed in. I mean, Chewy remembers that game in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and Ryan Longwell will tell you that he was pretty cocky at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'd made all of his kicks in preseason. He made all of his kicks in the opener. And he's thinking he's hot stuff. And Favre warns him on his way off the field, hey, it's slippery out here on that. You know, they had that same turf that they had at Camp Randall at Veterans Stadium, yeah. That crappy old AstroTurf. And he slips and misses a 28-yarder, and you guys lose.
Yeah.
And as I think Gabe pointed out on our show on Saturday, like that's the difference between you playing the 49ers at home or playing them on the road in the NFC title game. Now you want it anyway, but like that's the margin for error. And that's the kind of thing that when I look at Trey Smack, and again, I have no evidence to say he's not going to be good. I also have no evidence to say that he's going to be, you know, terrible. We don't know, but that's the choice that they've made. And I would say the bigger conversation is that, you know, Goody, again, it's as Josh and I were talking about to get the Keyshawn Nixon conversation preparation ready in case it did come up. Like, people are frustrated with the wrong person when it comes to Keyshawn Nixon. Well, they should be frustrated with Goody that he is their number one. But at the same time, like, if Trey Smack isn't up to the task – you had a kicker who's kicked in a Super Bowl. And, yeah, he missed three kicks, and he deserved to be criticized heavily. Not saying he gets a free pass for what he did in that playoff game. But, again, a little bit of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I'm very eager to see how Trey Smack handles this, because there are rookie kickers that have had success right away, but I would say that those guys are largely the exception that proves the rule.
Jason, sorry for making you get into it.
No, you're fine.
It was like peripherally,
I'm much
but still
calmer
feel
today.
Like, you know, okay, mm-hmm. good to know.
Let me just say this, because I know you guys got to go. But, like, I get it, man. Like, there's a lot of things about him, about Keyshawn Nixon, that rubs fans the wrong way. But I just, you know, we post these clips on social media, and then these people who don't bother to listen to our programs, who certainly aren't going to start because they watch that, just become complete jerks. And I don't want to deal with those type of people. Like, I got enough going on. I'm not, like, I don't need you stealing my joy because you hate Keyshawn Nixon's guts. Like, I'm just not interested in that. And then, you know, I don't know football and this. And I mean, look, I am not here to be Keyshawn Nixon's PR agent. I'm not trying to tell you that he is the second coming of Darrell Revis. But I think Joshy said it best. It seems like the outrage about him is outsized beyond how good or not good he actually is.
We'll leave it there, Jason. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this morning.
Yes. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
It's Jason Wilde. I didn't want to get him fired up, right? Gabe gave me the warning this morning. He said, hey, just so you know.
He was, when Ben brought it up on the show yesterday, it was...
Really?
Yeah, he was very stern in his, mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about this.
Well, did they not like him so much because of the personal fouls? Because
It's everything.
He's not a great corner, but he's a good corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it has to do, it's a combination of things. It's frustration that he's the number one.
Yep.
It's also his antics and his bravado mm-hmm. and his lack of play to necessarily match up with it. But he's a fine starting quarterback on most teams in the NFL.
But what I don't get is, why can you love, and I love Tucker Kraft, why do you love Tucker Kraft for being bravado and you hate Keyshawn Nixon for being bravado?
Well, it's degrees. You argue one's the best tight end in the league, the other is...
not the best at his position.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to earn the right to have that bravado, apparently. Even though, Chewy, I bet you would argue that you have to have a level of bravado to even step on the field in the NFL.
Yeah.
Well, especially to play corner. You got to just look at corners across the league. It seems like
but you
a prerequisite.
You can tell fake bravado as opposed to real bravado. Mm. Like, I always learn that the guys that talk the most trash mm-hmm. talk trash because they suck. You know?
Except for John Randall.
This is another universal truth by Chewy.
But he's funny. As long as it's not directed at me. You know?
I feel like there's an exception. Yeah. You've told enough John Randall stories. That dude is good.
Oh, yes, he was. I didn't like when he came out and played the end. Wasn't a fun day.
Son of a biscuit.
Doesn't it feel like Keyshawn Nixon gets treated like Kevin King despite being far better than Kevin King?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That's
like,
fair.
I think that's
like,
100%
fair. There are degrees of, I want the Packers to upgrade their cornerback one desperately, and I've wanted it for two seasons.
It's not Keyshawn's fault that they didn't do that.
But that's not Kevin King, Josh Johnson running out there. He's still making plays.
They don't beat the Bears the first time without him.
Because if he was a two, they wouldn't hate him.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Now I can see why he's frustrated.
When the game matters, where you play matters even more. At the Wisconsin Country Club, you get a championship-level golf experience right here in Milwaukee with nearly a century of tradition behind it. But what really sets it apart is everything beyond the course. We just had a great 4th of July celebration out there. Place was hopping. Families were out there for the fireworks on Sunday. We've also got pool days, tennis, pickleball, fitness, great dining, and programs your kids actually look forward to in the summer. It's not a pieced-together lifestyle. It's all in one place. I love and very excited that I joined the Wisconsin Country Club a couple of years ago. You can join as well. The Wisconsin Country Club, a better way to experience the game and everything around it. Schedule your private tour today and mention Good Karma for exclusive promotions.